I won't ask for a show of hands, but many of you have told me through the years that this gospel is one of your favorites, that you love the story of the prodigal son, and so do I. But it's really a story about the older brother who was so judgmental. Both this week and next week, our readings, our gospels, are about forgiveness. Today, the prodigal son. Next week, the story of the woman caught in adultery that the Pharisees and scribes wanted to stone to death, and how Jesus protected her. And it's appropriate that we have these two gospels as the fourth and fifth Sunday of Lent, because they prepare us for a week from Wednesday night when the community gathers with eight priests here to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, to prepare for Easter and to hear the forgiveness of God. Forgiveness is the hallmark of a Christian. The one thing that makes us different than any other religion is that the prime virtue, the prime challenge to us is forgiveness. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, Jesus says, you know, this is the cup of my blood. It's shed for you and for many, so that sins may be forgiven. That's why he died. And he says, do this in memory of me. Not just do the Eucharist together as a community, but do it as food for the strength to really be able to forgive other people. One reason we need the strength to do it is forgiveness is the hardest thing for us to do. It is really hard to forgive someone who has genuinely and deeply hurt us, especially if the hurt is ongoing. And sometimes in families with a mother-in-law, a brother-in-law, somebody has hurt us and sort of continues to treat us poorly and hurt us through the years. That's really difficult. And it's difficult for three reasons. The first reason is simply the hurt itself, because those kind of actions and words can hurt us very deeply, almost as if someone had beaten us up. The other reason it's difficult is our own pride. You know, how could they hurt me? And our own pride gets in the way. But the third reason is not just the forgiveness, but if we are going to go to them, if we're only going to forgive them in our heart, okay, that's difficult enough. But if we're going to go to them to be reconciled to them and say, I still want a relationship with you, that's very difficult, because what it forces us to say to ourselves and to the person to whom we want to reconcile, we have to say, what you did really hurt me. What you did, I think, was wrong. What you said was wrong. But I don't think that's all of you. I don't think that's who you are. I still think you are a good person. I still want a relationship with you. That's really hard to do. I want to focus on that third aspect, that reconciling. And I want to start by telling you about something this week. This week, when I was working with the older kids at school, I talked to them about forgiveness, because the gospel that day had been about forgiveness too. And Peter asking Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times. And Jesus says, no, 77 times. And when I was talking with these older kids, I wanted to talk about when God forgives us, what he's really saying to us is, yes, I agree what you did was wrong. Yes, I'm glad you've come back to ask for forgiveness. But quit beating yourself up. And the reason I wanted to talk with junior high kids, because junior high kids and high school kids are maybe tougher on themselves than anybody else. For some reason, they can be so tough on themselves. One reason teenagers, get so angry with their parents and their brothers and sisters is it's the anger at themselves boiling over onto everybody around them. Teenagers have a real knack of beating themselves up with a stick. I'm no good. I'm selfish. I asked the teenagers when they come to me in reconciliation, do you holler at yourself? And they look at me like, what do you mean? I say, do you holler at yourself? Yeah, I do. I say to myself, you're stupid. Or how could you be so selfish? Or why do you act that way? Or why did you treat my mom that way? Why did I do that? That was dumb. One of the things in reconciliation is when God says to the priest, put out your hand and ask the person to give you the stick. Because they've been beating themselves up with a stick before they got here. Because it's not just teenagers. It's not just young people. All of us never quite get over that. So many of us, when we do wrong things, have an awful time forgiving ourselves, an awful time where we stop hollering at ourselves and saying, you're no good, or whatever we want to say to ourselves. But God says, give me the stick. Hand it over. And when I ask them that, I usually kind of jokingly say to them, give me the stick you've been beating yourself up with, and I'm going to put it behind my chair with the other 300 sticks that I have from other people. Because we always do that. God says to us, don't do that. God says forgiveness is saying to the other person, and reconciling is saying, I still believe in you. I still want a relationship with you. What you have done does not define you. It's not who you are. Yes, you did something wrong. Maybe you did something very wrong. Maybe you've done this for years. But God is saying, no, you've come back. I want to reconcile myself to you. God does the reconciliation. He says, you're forgiven. And not only do I forgive you, I don't want you to beat yourself up. I don't want you to say that you're a bad person. You're my son. You're my daughter. That's what these readings are about today. If we look at this gospel, you know, neither son in the gospel today was able to hear the love that their father had for them. The father loved both of his sons, like our father loves us, but they couldn't hear it. The one couldn't hear it, wanted his half the inheritance, insulted the family, and went off and shamed the whole family. The older brother thought he was loved because he's never disobeyed. He's always done what the father wanted. But he never heard the father's love for him. But the father runs to meet the son. That never happened in the ancient culture. A father who was wounded by the son's action would never do that. He would wait in the house for the son to come and plead for forgiveness. He runs to him, hugs him, kisses him. And what does he say when the younger son tries to say, you know, I sinned, I don't deserve to be your son? Before he can even get out the third part of his little speech about treat me like a hired worker, his father says, he doesn't understand how much I love him, so what I want to do, he has to feel it. Get out the finest robe we've got in the whole wardrobe. Put it on him so he hears how important he is. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Let him know how much he's loved. The same with the older son. When the older son refuses to come in, the father goes out and pleads with him. And the older son says, yeah, but look at all that I did, and you don't even give me a goat, much less a fatted calf. And the father says, son, you are my son. Everything I have is yours. You're always here with me. With both of them, he's trying to get them to hear how much they're loved. That's why Jesus tells the story to the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, the sinner and the sin are the same thing. If a person sins, they themselves are bad. They're sinners. And God says, now, good people do bad things. Good people make serious mistakes. Good people do things that are dumb. And he says, I never give up on you. So a week from Wednesday, gather with the community. Let's celebrate as a whole parish. Let's celebrate that our Father never gives up on us. We are always his sons and daughters.